wonderful program, changed many lives, brought quite a few people to the Lord. And we started the offer program again. It's actually in its second round of running. And so let's just do a little bit about Alpha at the beginning, and then I want us to talk about evangelism and the need for evangelism. So Alpha, just in short, why Alpha and what is the need?
So Alpha is a program that it's an 11-week program. It allows people to explore some of the questions of life that we don't actually get a chance to always ask. It starts with a session called, Is There More to Life Than This? The program is intended for new Christians, people who are maybe just starting to explore their faith. And so it gives them a chance to do that through fellowship, through a talk, and then through discussion. So they have a chance to ask their own questions, and no question is out of the realm of what they're allowed to ask. What we've seen is Alpha actually recently did a global study, and they found that I think it was 94% of people came out of Alpha with either a stronger commitment or having made a commitment. There's people who come into the Alpha program who come in the first week they sit down in the discussion and they say, you know what, I'm an atheist. I don't believe any of this. Sometimes the language is interesting. And by the end of the course, they come out and they have a commitment to Christ. They know why they believe, which is probably more than I can say for some people who have grown up in the church. They don't necessarily know why they believe. You know, being born in a Christian country doesn't make you a Christian any more than being born in McDonald's makes you a hamburger.
Now you have to know thinking about Twitter.
Sorry, should I have said Tim Hortons and the coffee?
So, Alexander, just looking at that clock, I wish we had more time. Why is evangelism? And I know sometimes that's a scary word. It's a kind of a church word. Why is evangelism important? Also, in a church for people who, as you say, is growing up with the Lord, knowing the Lord. Why is evangelism?
God has given us, God is good all the time. He's given us a wonderful gift. Galatians 2 verse 20 talks about how God loved me. Like, it's that personal. God loved me, and he gave himself for me. And to do evangelism, you know, as I see it, there's kind of two models in the Bible. There's Paul, who went out and told lots of people. And for a lot of people, that is scary. But then you also look at, there's people like Andrew who went and said, come and see what God has done. Come and see what God has done in my life. And so for Alpha, it's very easy to be able to say, have you considered taking the Alpha course? Come and see what God, you know, just taste a little bit about what God is like.
Thank you. You could sit here the whole day.
We could.
Thank you again. Thank you for giving the Alpha course, running the course for us. May God continue to bless you in the book that you do, but also the work of the course.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you.
Am I going to continue this for the sermon this morning? I want to start with a story before we read. A friend of mine, his name is Stefan Ibar. Stefan is a professor in the New Testament. Wonderful, wonderful theologian, wonderful man. Teaches all over the world. Stefan said, he tells a story that he was preaching in one congregation in the morning and he had to preach in another congregation called Moraleta Park in the evening. Now, if you go look at Moraleta Park on the website, you'll see that it looks like a shopping mall. It has a dog seating for 4,000 people in one of the other. And he had to go preach in one of something, something that the Lord doesn't often do, and it's true, the Lord doesn't always do this, but sometimes he does, he speaks to ministers. And he tells us stuff. And he said, the Lord said to him this evening, I want you, after the sermon, to make an announcement that there is someone in that church that needs the Lord. And he said, Lord, I don't do this kind of stuff. I'm not your own kind. You don't do this kind of stuff. He said, so he got to Moraleta that evening and a wonderful crowd. And he preached, and at the end of the sermon, he made this call and he said, the Lord told me that there is someone that needs to come up and be the church of this person. And a whole bunch of people got up. And he said, Lord, that wasn't a deal. He said, it's one person. But it was very interesting, he said, that the Lord showed him exactly who this was. This young girl came up. He said, I'm the person. He says, my life is a mess. It's been a mess. I got in with the wrong friends. My life is in the gutters of life. And I don't even know why I'm here. I was actually just driving past all this place that looked like a mall, and there was kind of a magnet that was pulling me into this mall, and then I walked in, and it's this church place. He says, and he stood there, and he prayed for me. And in that moment of praying, the Lord Jesus came and saved her soul. She accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord. He says, but out of the corner of his eye, he saw something coming at high speed. And it was one of his friends who heard what was going on. And this guy came running. And he grabbed this young woman in his arms. And he started dancing with her. And as he was dancing, he said, welcome into the kingdom of God. Welcome into the kingdom of God. And I tell this story because it brings me to one of two questions that I want us to explore this morning. And maybe we'll dance at the end. We can play dance music. Maybe we'll dance at the end of this service. There's two questions I want us to explore. First question. What do you think is the value of one soul for Jesus Christ? What is the value that Jesus places? One soul. How important is one soul in Jesus? Second question. What do we do with our mistakes? Things we do wrong. How do we fix them? Because you remember in the old days we wrote with a pencil. And they had erasers, right? It was easy. You made a mistake, you rub it out, and you could write over. Then came ink pens. It wasn't so easy, so we got whiteout. But you could always still see there was a mistake because the whiteout mark would sit there. Then came these wonderful things called computers. And they have a delete and a backspace, and you don't even know you made a mistake. It's all fixed. That's easy. What about the mistakes in relationships? You can't just get them. It takes a little more. It takes a little more. Maybe we need to build bridges. Maybe say, I'm sorry. What do we do about mistakes in a relationship that creates that big gap? To help us explore that, let's go to our scripture reading. Beautiful story. Beautiful story. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was laying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, actually, wrong translation. It's the word child, and I'll explain it a little later. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who could else but God alone. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. He said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" Man, I would have run when he knew what was going on in my heart. Which is easier? To say to this paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat, walk." But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "Value of one soul. How do we fix circumstances?" Let me take you back to the story. So we would find Jesus in Capernaum, and I have a little slide for you when we were there, was it 3 years ago? Capernaum was Jesus' hometown. And you'll see the slides actually spells Capernaum a little different than we do. Jesus, the Hebrew, Capernaum. Capernaum means town. Naum, the town of Naum. Jesus, that was his hometown, his home base. Lived there for 3 years. That's why you hear the story saying he came home. The place he lived, next slide, was Peter's house. Now, it's the house that's underneath, the structure above that, the Catholic Church built, the huge church, right above the house. If you go into that, if they allow you, you can look through and see the house down there. This was the home base where Jesus would meet with the disciples, where Jesus would preach, where Jesus would teach. So we have Jesus, disciples, and a huge crowd of people all into this little house. Why is preaching here? Who stopped breaking in the roof? Now, remember again, you just write about this. The roof was made a little differently than ours. It's made of reeds and mud and clay. So it was easier to get into things than ash. Can you imagine? You're sitting with Jesus. Preaching, everyone is listening. All of a sudden, little bit of clay start falling. The next thing, there's this hole, and there comes this man. I think he had to do a few more healings that day. But you're asking, why so dramatic? Why couldn't they just say, "Guys, excuse me, can we just bring this guy in? Jesus needs to take care of him." You know why? No one would let him in. Because they're all there for their own thing. They're all there because it's all about them. They want to be there. And if they brought this guy with four friends in, 8 or 9 of them, if not more, would have to get out of that little house and they would not be in there anymore. And they wanted their moment with Jesus. So these guys had to make a plan. So they break the roof. They let him down. Watch Jesus. Greek word for sun is wheels. The word that is used in Greek here is the word technon, which is the word for child. So I don't know why they translated it as sun. I can see the amazement on his friend's face, thinking, "Oh, Jesus. Man, stop how you brought the guy. Leave the theology in it. We brought this guy so he can do the doctor thing. Just heal him. Let the guy walk. You can do the theology a little later. Just heal the guy. That's why we broke the roof. Not for another sermon." But you see, my friends, here's the thing. Jesus, when he sees this man, Jesus, when he sees him, knows that he's weak. Jesus knows that the most important thing that he can do is to be with us. Jesus. look at you. Father, child whose name is written in the book of life and never taken out of the life. Those are the most beautiful words of any human being. What's the easiest to say? Your sins are forgiven? Or to say, they got them back, get up. Because you see, Jesus says, John 10, verse 10, I've come into this world so that you may have life in abundance. He didn't come into the world, my friends, to do a little miracle here and a little healing there and a little miracle here and a little healing there. Gives him life in all of its fullness because he takes away his sin. He heals him from his illness and he sends him back to the home where he'll have a brand new relationship. See what happens now. The question was, what is the value of one's soul? Can I change the question? What is your value? How important do you think this is? Do you sit in this place? Do you hear your soul? If it's necessary, you'll break his feet. Come in. Speak to Jesus. One day in heaven, we're going to meet this paralyzed man that we don't even know his name. We're going to meet him. You know what he's going to say? Say, guys, the greatest miracle that day was not when